there's three things that I want to tell you about exploration. The first is that it's a very personal pursuit. For some, as I mentioned before, it's the first to ski down the back of Everest or walk on the bottom of the ocean. But the important part of that is the spirit of exploration, the drive to go and see, which always gives us some insight and some sense of wonder about the world, and more importantly, a critical understanding of our world, our place in it, and the possibilities of what we can do. The second thing about exploration is that we're not finished exploring this planet. Humphrey Davies said this about it, and he couldn't be more right. Nothing is more fatal to the progress of the human mind than to presume that our views of science are ultimate, that our triumphs are complete, that there are no mysteries in nature, and no worlds to conquer. And it might seem like we've seen it all, and back after they invented the transistor radio, there are those who said, "What? We've got the transistor radio. We don't need more science. We don't need more technology. This is great." And there were those who said, "No. No, we need more science. We need more technology." And then they invented antibiotics. And then people said, "Oh, we're good. We are good." And then there were people who said, "No, we need to keep going." And eventually, we put a man on the moon. We created the internet. And today, yesterday, someone had the bright idea of putting a little man-made device on the side of a comet, and they pulled it off. And these are all things that were unimaginable until they were done. And yet, once you give this to us, you can never take it away. One of the things that amazes me, as I mentioned before, we keep finding new species, we keep finding new ideas, new ways of doing things. In 1988, they realized that there's a marine bacteria. It's called Prochloral cocci. It's now recognized as likely the most abundant organisms on Earth and responsible for a huge part of the photosynthesis that occurs in the oceans. They give us oxygen to breathe. Until 1988, we had no idea that they existed. So we are continuing to realize that there's so much still to discover. The third thing I want you to know about exploration is that we've turned a page in what exploration needs to bring back. As I mentioned before, and this is something we talk about at National Geographic a lot, modern exploration has nothing to do with the exploration of our grandfathers. When my grandfather got started, no one knew it was under the surface of the waves. Now everybody does. When my grandfather got started, he had to send the huge canisters of film from the location that they were in, somewhere in the world, back to Los Angeles, so that the editors could look at what they caught on tape, because they had no idea. They didn't know if they got their shots or not. They didn't know if they could tell a story or not. And then the person that took the canisters back to LA would then fly back into the field and tell them the good or bad news, and they would stay until the next load of canisters went back to LA. Today, you can make a documentary with a GoPro, an iPhone, and a Facebook page. It's amazing to me. That's, I think, the beauty of exploration today. Take your GoPro, your iPhone, and your Facebook page and tell a story. Find a new way of seeing things. Inspire people about a place that you love, a place that matters to you, or a new place that you've never seen, but that you're able to look at in a way that no one else can. Support the science and innovation that this country excels at and changes the world with. When I look back at the most exhilarating, exciting, meaningful moments in my life, it was always when I was sitting next or standing or swimming or flying next to a scientist. They are the keepers of some of my most precious memories. I'll give you an example. I went to Maui in the spring to meet with scientists from National Marine Sanctuaries. And They took me out in a small boat. And their job, which I think is so cool, is to go out, snorkel with humpback whales, and look for entanglements. Because a lot of the whales get entangled with fishing line or other kinds of refuse that's thrown at sea. And when they find something, they call their rapid response team. And these guys zip out in high-speed boats with all these special tools. And they actually jump in the water next to the humpback whales and start cutting off the ropes or the lines or finding some way to not only get them off the whale, but then tie them to buoys so they rise to the surface and they can be collected. And so they had kindly agreed to take us, my brother and I, out to see this. And we find a pod of humpback whales. And the scientists pushed me overboard with my snorkel equipment and said, "Swim that way." I was like, "Okay." I start swimming that way. And all of a sudden, I found myself closer than the back of this theater to two male humpback whales that were in the middle of an argument. And they were blowing bubbles at each other, because for them that's a sign of aggression. And there was obviously a female nearby, so they were deciding who was going to get the girl. And I was here, and they were facing each other, perpendicular to me. And I was watching, and I kept inching closer and inching closer. And then suddenly they swivel, and I see one enormous fluke come towards me, and I felt like I was in the Matrix. I was kind of like this, trying to go backwards as this huge tail came and swung in front of me. But let me tell you, if you don't feel alive when something like that happens and you're about to get knocked silly by a humpback whale, then I don't know what to do for you. But they left, and then I was just kind of listening to the songs, and I looked over to my right, and about 30 feet deeper than me, quite a ways away, the whole tribe was swimming by, and they were just going somewhere. But then there was a little baby, and he sort of saw me and peeled off from his group and swam up and looked at me and just looked at me with curiosity, with intelligence, with, I know it's odd to say this, but warmth in his gaze. And I contemplated him for what seemed like an eternity. And then his mom came and said, "Sonny, you get back in line, we're gonna keep going." But without the scientists who study the humpback whales, without their understanding of what's going on in the ocean, the importance of humpbacks to the larger ecosystem in which they live, the threats to their survival, and the innovative ways that they find to tackle those issues, I never would have had that experience. I never would have been chest high in a Tennessee river hunting for slimy giant salamanders under huge rocks. I never would have been diving with 200 sharks in French Polynesia. I never would have done so many of the things that have made me who I am. And so beyond the enormous advances that science and technology and engineering and math have given to our society, the huge contributions they've made to our quality of life, to how we get around, how we eat, how we live, how we travel, how we recreate, they've also given me the gift of discovering places and things I never would have been able to see on my own. And so I want to leave you with that thought, and please nurture that in your children. Please encourage them to pursue science and technology and engineering and math in school, because it's not just a way to get a good job. It's a way to have an extraordinary life. And I know that's something we all share, is a desire to have an extraordinary life.